We're going to read one verse today, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. One small verse. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pretty well sums that up, who's leaving in the rapture, doesn't it? The pure in heart are leaving when Jesus comes back. Amen. I want to talk to us a little bit today here about holy hearts. There's some verses I'm going to go to. I did not send them to the media. Was not going to do all that, so I'm just going to read verses, and if they find them, great. If they don't, I guess you'll just have to pay attention, okay? Bless the Lord. Amen. I don't know what we did before we had all this stuff anyway. How many can remember before I go into my lesson, now when you dial somebody's number, you got to find their name in your phone and punch it. But in high school, I had 200 numbers in this brain that I could go to a rotary and dial every one of them and not forget them, okay? So I love media, but we did do without it for a while, okay? So it's your choice what you like. I like not having to look and remember 200 phone numbers, to be honest with you. Anyway, Matthew 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, Brother Zelke, the mouth speaketh. When evil resides in the heart, it will be exposed in speech, actions, and behavior. Amen. The heart is the center of who we really are. And this is not a political statement by any means, but I feel that the reason people are committing such evil actions in our world is because of the heart problem that we have. We have dark hearts doing evil things. Somebody had to say it. To me, it is demon possession when a person can walk into a little kid's school, grade school, whatever, and kill a bunch of innocent children for no reason whatsoever. We're trying to come up with laws to change that. Laws will not change that. Laws may help it. I'm not against good laws for the protection of people. But the real problem still resides in the heart of humanity. That is a dark heart that can take a human life just because. This is why you have people of different race and color hating each other.
Hello?
It's in the heart of man. And what's in the heart of man is always exposed in their speech, their actions, and their behavior.
Amen.
Now, I know everybody in this house, including me, has said things that you had to apologize for. And if you didn't, you should have. Okay. No one in the room is above an apology. Because if you think you are, now you have entered into a spirit of pride, which is also against Scripture. Hello? But out of the abundance of the heart, hey, I've said things when I was mad, and man, I thought, I probably should not have said that. But I'm going to check me, now I'm going to check you. At that moment in time, even in anger, you revealed what your heart was actually thinking at that present time. Now, you can blame it on whatever you want. But everything in this life concerning us will always come back to the heart issue. Amen? The heart is the center of who we really are. Amen? Jeremiah put it this way in 17:9. The heart is deceitful. Boy, this ain't what this world says. Oh, follow your heart. And I'm like, take your brains with you. Your heart can lead you right astray. And we're going to get to that in a moment, why there has to be a heart change. There has to be a heart change. That's why there is a new birth. That's why it's so important to have the new birth, because that is a heart change. Amen? Because the truth of the matter is, everyone in this building was born in sin. shapen in iniquity. Can I get an amen? Those beautiful little innocent children who are in innocence. And I'm going to tell you right now, there will be no babies in hell. You need to stay away from that foolish teaching. I pulled my kid out of a class one time because they were in there saying that. Uh-uh. There is an age of accountability. I don't know what that age is. But I do know babies don't go to hell. But I do know babies grow up, and at some point, every human being has to make a decision on what they're going to follow, what they're going to love, what they're going to do. Are you hearing me on that? Only God in that individual knows that. But I'm telling you right now, even that innocent child that is born will someday grow up into an adult, and decisions are going to have to be made. Why? Because everyone was born in sin. We have a sinful nature, sinful actions that must be conquered through the power of His Spirit. Can I get an amen in the house? Now, this may not be a shout message, but oh, if we could get some changed hearts and some changed actions and some changed behavior, we could get off to a revival. Hello? Jeremiah said it was wicked, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Think about that, Brother Pepper. Who can know it? Who can know it? You can't. I can't. But He can. I said He can. What you show us may not be what He sees. Somebody here with me? You can show us all your good side, but He knows the bad side. Amen? Are you hearing me? You know what I tell marriage couples? You'd probably get along better if you quit trying to put your behind the scenes with their highlight reels. People walking around here in their marriages and act like, we never argue, we never do this, we never do that. And I'm like, well, you're from another planet. I don't even know where you're from. How are you going to put two people in the same house for 20 years and they never argue? Don't tell me you don't argue. My God, we fuss more than, humans fuss more than any people I know. They'll fuss about everything. And then turn right around and say, honey, I love you. Are you hearing me today? I'm just trying to make some sense up in here. We all have issues and fall short. Okay? You're going to have to apologize to that spouse because you know you messed up. Okay? That's just the way it is. That's the way it goes, and it's never changing. God knew that when He put us together. Hello? The heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is an obstacle everyone has to deal with. It even can be an enemy you must defeat. Your heart can deceive you. Matter of fact, what you show us that could be in your heart physically can deceive us. If you ever met somebody, you just think they're all that, then find out they wasn't all nothing because they only show you highlight reels. They only show you what they want you to see. Brother Pepper, but discernment in the Holy Ghost sometimes can just see right around that. Come on, you can fool anybody, but you can't fool the Holy Ghost. And you can't fool God. Remember the two people that come in and said, well, we sold this for what everybody else did. Yeah, well, you have nice data's been knowing you, and they dropped dead. Now, you know what God judged there? They didn't even have to say they sold it for that. This was all volunteer stuff. That was hypocrisy. It was pride. God's going to judge all that. What you show us and what He sees may be two different things, and those are the things we need to correct. It's your behind the scenes that you have to deal with. Okay? Some people, they're so obnoxious, we know what you are without being a behind the scene. Hello? The term follow your heart can actually lead you astray. Humanity needs a heart change. Heart change. Every day. Humanity needs a heart change. If this world, think about this, and I'm not promoting, of course, I know we're United Pentecostal people here, but to be honest with you, I'm apostolic, whatever name you want to put out there, I know what I'm going to follow. Some people act like it's the name of your building taking you to heaven. No, that's not taking you to heaven. Biblical principles and obeying God's word is what will take you to heaven. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, the heart can lead you astray. Psalms 51:10, here's what David said. Create in me a clean heart. Ooh, let's talk about the heart. A clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. David realized, I have a heart problem. Huh? Come on. We know he was the greatest worshiper of the Bible. But he also took another man's wife. He also had their husband killed. He had some heart problems. Your worship does not do away with your heart problems. Hello? You bounce off the steel ceilings and still leave with heart issues. You got to allow God to change that heart. That's why David said, God, you create within me. David knew it was going to take God to solve the heart issue. Then he said, renew a right spirit within me. So it can only take God to create it and renew it.
Hello?
You know, a lot of our problems as Christians is simply a lack of renewing what we already have.
It's the truth.
So I'm going to tell you right now, like I said, we all get aggravated. There's times I'll be at work, and I ain't no mood to talk to nobody, maybe Jesus. But I have walked away from people and said, hey, not now. I'll talk to you in about 20 minutes. Now's not a good time. And I walk right off. You know why? Because if I sit there, I know what's going to happen. I am going to put somebody in their place, and we are not going to. And it don't matter to me what job titles they hold. You're better just to walk off if you can. Now, if they get up in your face, then you just got to set the house in order.
That's my opinion.
But anyway, because you know why? Steve Piles can have some heart problems, and so can you. We can all do things, say things, and act ways that we know we should not have done. And if you can avoid that, we need to avoid that. If you did not avoid that, then you need to repent and ask God to help you with that heart problem. Come on. You hear me? David realized he couldn't do this on his own. You can't fix that heart by you. That's going to take the new birth to fix that heart. That's going to take God's spirit to fix that heart. We can't do that. God fixed and cleaned my heart, something I tried to do for years before it happened to me. It'd be good for a little while. But it's just like everything else, man. Sometimes good things wear off. We forget vows. We forget promises. But God, give me a clean heart. Give me a true heart. Give me a pure heart. Are you hearing me today? Listen to this, Ezekiel. Verse 36, 25 through 27. A new heart also will I give you. Everybody say new heart.
New heart.
You know what God told this prophet? They're going to need a new heart. And I'm going to give it to them. Then he went on to say he was going to pull out that stony heart. Come on, somebody. Remember that night he pulled out your stony heart? Remember that night he took out that heart of disobedience, that heart of sin, that heart of defeat, and replaced it? I said replaced it with a new heart. And guess what? A new heart gives you a new song, a new life, a new change. This world needs a heart change. And sometimes the church needs a heart change. Amen. A new heart and new spirit means a new life, a new walk. A new heart changes everything. Everything. It may not change it immediately, but it will change it. How many of you have been in the church a while? I know I have. Even to this day, I can tell you there are things that never in my life I have been convicted of, Brother Zelke. And then all of a sudden, you're going along one day, and out of nowhere, here comes this conviction that you've probably been doing and messing up for years. But remember, always remember, once God convicts you, that's when it starts. Hello. These conviction things are very debatable. I mean, if you're living for God and you haven't been convicted, it's kind of hard to judge for somebody that didn't know. But once God reveals to you, now you know. See the difference? Now you know. But I've been going along and then God began to deal with me about something. And I'm thinking, I ain't never felt like that before. Why am I feeling this, Lord? So I go to the Lord. And you know what that just really means? You should never stop growing. I don't care how long you've been sitting in this building or this church or any other church. Growth is for the church. And continued growth is for the church. Continued knowledge is for the church. Nobody in this building knows it all. We have to be willing to learn from each other. And iron sharpens iron. Just because somebody disagrees with you could actually be for your betterment. Because my eyes have been opened through disagreements. But the world has forgotten how to disagree and still love each other. No, they really have. I've seen on news where wives are divorcing husbands for who they voted for. And I've also seen if they voted opposite than you, don't you go to Thanksgiving dinner with them. Wow, what a stupid message. It's bringing all kinds of problems to the world. I ought to be able to sit down and eat turkey with you no matter who you voted for. And I would. I don't care. It's your right as an American. Oh, we believe in freedom. No, you don't. Not if you're declaring that, you don't. Well, they disagree with me. Then you don't believe in freedom of speech because that's a part of freedom of speech. Hello? We just need to get back to the normal and cut all this stupid stuff off. And we're all going to answer to Jesus Christ when this is over anyway. And only blessed are the pure in heart are the only ones leaving and going. So we need to cleanse our heart. This always comes back to the heart. How about? Well, the devil made me do it. No. No, he does a lot, but he ain't making you do anything you don't want to do. Can we just put that out there? You know why we fail and sin? Most of the time we choose to fail and sin. Well, I knew I was wrong when I did it. Yeah, well, so have I sometimes, and you got to go back and repent. Thank God for repentance, or we'd all be lost. Ezekiel said he's going to take out that stony heart, and he's going to give you another heart. Because since man was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, there has to be a heart change. You must be born. There's a reason he says again. Because the first birth ain't going to get you where you're going. The second birth is going to get you where you're going. You must be born again. How many born again believers do we have here today? You know what? Look at all these heart changes. Come on. Look at all these heart changes. You know what happened that night you had? He reached down inside you, like I said. He pulled out that heart of stone, that junk, that corruption, that evil, and said, I'm going to give you something to shout about, to worship about, to pray about, to be thankful about. I'm thankful for the heart change that God gave me. Amen. Humanity's born in sin, and the new birth is the only thing that has the remedy for that heart you were born with. It's the truth. It's the only thing. Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You think about that. We've already heard one smart old guy say, your heart's wicked, who can know it? And we run around here, oh, follow your heart, right? And so if it's leading you off of a bridge, you're going to keep following that heart? Think about some of the stuff we do. Sometimes telling somebody, just be yourself, is the worst advice you could give somebody. Maybe there needs to be a change. Hello? I'm telling you, follow your heart as long as your heart's telling you to follow God. That's what I'm telling you. Come on. Out of the issues of life, who can know it? The wise man was saying, you got to guard your heart. You are the gatekeeper of your heart. And if you're in a home where you're the husband in the leadership, you must also be a gatekeeper of that home. Hello? And in some cases, God bless women and trying to raise children by themselves. You got all my respect. I salute you. You out here trying to do it all by yourself, and ain't nobody should be putting you down for that. Life happens. I'm going to tell you right now, since I'm in the mood just to talk, everybody that walks through those doors back there, Brother Zelke, comes with some kind of baggage. Do you agree with me on that? So where does the church fall in with that? The church must decide how much we're going to help them unpack with. I think we need to be a whosoever will church. Come on. We have broken homes. We have all that going on in this world because Satan's on a rampage and there ain't nobody you got a right to look down on.
No one in this building sets that high.
No one. If you do, you're sitting in self-righteousness. Well, you know what they've done? I don't really care. Here's what I care about. What are they doing right now to change their situation? Okay? It's the truth. It's the truth. The issues of life are coming out of this heart. We are gatekeepers of our heart. You are a gatekeeper of your home. Amen? I'm going to tell you right now, it's easier to raise children right than it is to correct them in a courthouse or a jailhouse. Oh, that's not really preached anymore these days. It's just like me and Beverly got out of the car the other day, and this woman was chasing three little kids. They were 5, 6, 7 feet out in front of her, telling them to stop. They just kept right on running. Car's backing out. I looked over at Darren and said, you got your backside spanked for stuff like that. She goes, yeah, I remember. I said, you want to know why? Because I want you to know what stop means. There's a car coming. You holler at your kids, stop. If you don't got them knowing what stop means, they keep on going, and then usually bad things happen. Well, I don't agree with that. It's the truth. It's the truth. We are responsible for our children, our homes, our church. We are to safeguard our hearts and our home and our church. I know we look for a lot of things to do to have revival, and I agree. All that's good. But let me tell you something else. Don't forget that's really key to revival. How you speak of your leaders in church and the community is also very important to have revival.
Are you hearing me?
We talk about the heart. That usually gets kind of people a little shaky, but that's okay. I cleared mine before I preached today. I had some issues I had to take care of. God, I can't preach about the heart when I know this ain't going right.
We are a product of what we preach.
We are the first instruments that you can't preach things that's going on in your life and telling everybody else to change it when it's going on in your life. You got to change you. Can't set standards that we ain't doing. Hello? Thank you. I mean, I guess we're getting there. You know what Samuel said? But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance, oh, here we go, on the height of the stature, because I have refused them. Now you think about that. They had the appearance. They were there with Samuel. But the great Samuel was making a big mistake because he was basing his decision on appearance. Are you hearing me? Good appearance with a bad heart still disqualifies you.
Hello, somebody.
They look good enough to sing in the choir. That don't mean they haven't ready. Hello? Yeah. Good appearance is more than just being dressed up and looking proper. You fooling everybody but Jesus. Samuel said, oh, yes, surely the Lord. No, prophet. That ain't even who God's got in mind. You're looking at appearance. God's looking for heart. Preach with me, somebody. We all get wrapped up in a lot of things we see, and God's saying, oh, hang on a minute. That individual in the back, I know they where they need to be, and they may be doing this and doing that, but I know that heart, and God calls heart. I said, God calls heart. Are you hearing me? God don't call you for who you can become. God calls you because of the potential that he sees in your heart. Quit letting people judge you, knock you down, and push you back because maybe you're not where they think they are. When the truth is, they could be behind you in the race. If you judge yourselves among yourselves, you are not wise. Are you hearing me? Samuel's Okay. These aren't it. You can have righteousness and still not be kingdom ready. You can have good appearance and be full of deception. Where do I get that from? Well, if you believe Scripture, let's put it this way. Even the devil himself can appear as an angel of light.
That's best book, brother. That's book.
The enemy himself can come parade up and look great and do all the right things, but it could be an enemy of light. I'm telling you, God knows the heart. You can fool the church, but you're not fooling God. There's coming a day he's going to separate good heart from bad heart. You can put it any way you want to, but the good and blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. There's one thing I'd be doing. It'd be purifying that heart, because that seems pretty important to Jesus Christ. Hello? Appearance can really be deceiving. God's looking for heart, not just flesh that's dressed up correctly. I know I told you and I've said this several times, but I remember we got our revival, and we were sitting with another minister in Walmart, and that weekend, can't remember the day, so I'm not going to say I'm horrible. I say, well, the other day, my wife says that was 8 months ago. So I'm horrible with dates. I'm horrible with names. I really am horrible with names. I have a horrible time. And at my church, I've pastored people for 5 years, and it'd still be, hey, you. They're like, don't you know my name by now? I'm like, okay, hey, brother. Hey, sister. I know everybody's name at West Monroe. It's, hey, brother. Hey, sister.
Can't go wrong with that.
Hello? But anyway, this lady, she had prayed through. She was involved in some witchcraft. And I mean, man, she really had the marks of the world on her in every way imaginable. Sitting with that evangelist, he said, man, she needs God. I said, she has God. What? I go, oh, she has God. Well, she don't look like it. I said, she received the Holy Ghost in our revival Saturday night. See how quick we are to jump right out there? We get to looking at that appearance, and man, it can just throw us all off. No, it may throw some of you off. God knows the heart. Are you hearing me? He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows what needs fixed and what needs fixed immediately. Somebody hear me? Closing verse, the one I started with. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. One thing is for certain, only the pure in heart are going to heaven. You can say whatever you want. He was pretty plain about a pure heart. Amen? Pure in heart has no hypocrisy, no hate, no hidden motives, no hidden agendas. Those are the kind of people I love talking to. Just tell me straight, pal. Quit going around all this junk. Hello? We beat around the bush, and some people are like, hey, I'm starving. Could you please just feed me? And then we go into some restaurants and we say, well, I've seen what that cook looked like, and I'm not eating my steak. Here's what I'm saying. I'm really hungry, and I'll eat yours if you don't want it. I'm going to bless that puppy and chow down.
Hello? Hello? Are you hearing me?
When we're talking to people about the Lord, always remember, hungry people say, feed me. One of the greatest prayers in the world was not a six-month Bible study. It was Peter drowned and saying, hey, could you save me? Save me, one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You know what? We need saving. And I'm so glad he thinks we're worthy of saving. Because ain't nobody would meet that qualification. It is impossible to live a pure life without a pure heart.
Impossible.
I said it's impossible. You may look like you need to be everything, but I'm telling you, you're not living a pure life without a pure heart. Say what you want, man. You can dress up and put yourself in a window for everybody to stare at for all I care. But God's going to call that heart into judgment one of these days. God knows that heart. Ain't nobody fooling him. We do not know holy until we give God our hearts. I think our holiness always comes back to our hearts and how much of it we will give to the Lord.
Come on. It's the truth.
It's the truth. And let me just tell you right now, even when I was pastoring, and I won't go no farther than this, is not trying to be pastoral at all, but some people are so wrapped up on standards and making them biblical, and yet they change every 7 miles. So is the Bible wrong, or maybe a standard here or there? Hello? I'm telling you this right here. You cannot have the true Holy Ghost without having some morals, some modesty, no hatred, kindness. Hello? That stuff ain't weakness. That stuff is strength. Are you hearing me? God knows that heart. And I'm going to tell you right now, I also believe that preaching is one of the most important things we can do in a church service. You can say what you want, but preaching is the most important thing. It's all important. Worship sets the tone for the word. And then when the word's delivered, the worship sets the tone for the altar. It's all important. You can be saved through a choir song. But you hear what I'm saying? But here's what I'm telling you. The word, when it goes forth, that deals with heart. That deals with heart. And we need to let it deal with heart. Amen. I always say, if the preacher don't get on your feet every now and then, maybe he ain't doing his job. We all need to be convicted. We all need a stirring. We all need to be told, hey, the road's out up ahead.
Ain't nothing wrong with that kind of preaching.
There's nothing wrong with saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Why? Because he is one. There's nothing wrong with preaching the new birth and the water baptism. If that offends you, then you're in the wrong place. Actually, you're in the right place, but you chose to make it wrong. You don't back up on who you are. The word. The word. The word is what helps purify the heart. Amen? A pure heart is a free heart. Everything starts and will end according to the condition of the heart. If you leave eternity with the same heart you were born in, God bless you. That's between you and your Savior. But I want to make my calling and election sure. I want to leave this world with at least a new heart. A new heart gives me a fighting chance. A new heart at least gives me a hope. It don't mean you're perfect because you talk in tongues. It don't mean you're perfect because you've got the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you what it does mean. It gives you a fighting chance. It gives you the hope that we're sitting here today saying, I got hope. I got hope. I got hope. Don't you let the enemy take that hope. As long as you've got that new heart, you got hope. You got promise, and you got what you need to get you out of this old world. Amen? Our prayer should be, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Two words, create and renew. And only God can do both.
It's the truth. This new heart don't come
when you go to Walmart. You ain't picking it up at Kohl's. But at an altar of prayer, whether this altar, that pew, your kitchen sink, driving your car, God really don't have a preference where he fills you with his spirit. You know when you get the Holy Ghost? When you're ready for it. When your heart is conditioned to him. Now, if you're looking for the Holy Ghost, Please don't try to figure this all out before you get it. Because I've been in it for almost 40 years and I still ain't got it figured out. You're not going to figure this all out. You're not going to know everything and what it means in here. Hello? But let me tell you what matters. The one thing you have is right now. Now. And that is all you have is now. Yesterday's gone, servant. Nobody's promised tomorrow. All we have is right now. Stand with me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm just thankful for the heart change that God gave you. It don't mean you're perfect. It just means you now have a director and a protector in life. As long as he's dwelling right here, you've got what you need to get you home. Can somebody say amen in the house?